Africa Global Radio, our story, our growth, our future.
I wonder sometimes how these records are being produced, you know, from writing the song to producing the song and eventually making it timeless records. Like, it just beats my mind. Till today, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, when I listen to a song like, well, Fresh by Kool & the Gang, it's still as crispy as if it was just recorded yesterday. What's the secret? What do you think could be the secret? Huh?
I think it's quite simple. It's what the producers, the writers. Mm-hmm. One thing I've noticed, at least because I also record music, is if you've got a good producer,
right,
and you have a number of people who refine the song whilst it's being produced or being worked on in the studio. So a lot of people
hands on it.
A lot of hands, a lot of souls.
So you
are in it.
That's when you have a record there is produced by Dr. Dre, and then a bit of Scott Storch there, a bit of, you know, this person, so that person.
Usually, yeah, so it's
different ears.
The more talents are involved, sometimes, not always, but sometimes, the more talents that are involved, the more refined the song
the
is.
More timeless,
tweak this side, do this.
Yeah.
And also sometimes when more live instrumentation is added. Mm. So the drums may be programmed, but if live guitars are played, because if I listen to this, I think the bass guitar is
it was
is
live. Live, yeah.
So
definitely
it brings a certain energy to it, a certain bounce that a computer may not be able to mimic.
Yeah,
may not.
Thank you. Right, so. I like that keyword. The computer may not be able to mimic. So. And Kwame Nkrumah, are you related to Kwame Nkrumah?
No, I'm not.
Not even a distant relative. Shout outs to Nas and Damian Marley. No.
I mean, you could just say yes.
No, that maybe the computer might alternate the answer and say, no, you're not. No, you're not. It's good to have you, Kwame.
Good to be here.
What's your middle name? Spikey?
Yeah, Spikey.
Why Spikey?
It's an old nickname that grew with me. Because of my hair. My hair is spiky when it's cut. So
Right.
Okay, my French teacher couldn't mention any of my Ghanaian names, and she was our class teacher. So every time she tried to mention my name, she would suffer, and everybody would
be like, French teacher?
Yeah, in class 4.
And she was your, like, the class,
the
like class the teacher assigned to that particular. Oh,
exactly.
Okay.
So she couldn't pronounce my name. So every time she'd be like the one struggling with the name, and everybody's like, oh, Spikey. She just caught on.
Wow.
So, open day, my mom goes there, is looking for my desk, and she can't find
it. And it's Spikey.
She mentions my name to her, and she's like, it's not in this class, maybe S. She's like, no, this class. So she describes, and it's like, oh, Spikey.
Oh, boy. Mommy. Omasi Samibandidin was school. But it's good to have you, man.
Good to be here.
You're a tech consultant. What do you people do?
That's fancy.
Well,
it is. Bougie as well.
Yeah.
Well, being a consultant, basically providing tech solutions to companies and individuals who need technology advice and support.
Right.
So, yeah, that's pretty much what I do. I'm like the go-to guy.
The go-to guy.
Yeah, just hit me up.
Anything technology, just hit you up and you go, make it happen. Kwame Spikey Nkrumah is in the building. And today we're having a conversation about artificial intelligence. A lot of people, or most people, or people who are they the
conservatives?
Conservatives, right? They're the ones like, we shouldn't welcome artificial intelligence.
Some of them. Conservative sentiments.
Some of them, you know. The liberal, like, oh, it's okay. They will assist you. Make it happen. Have you seen iRobot? Will Smith didn't have to do anything and all that stuff. But I think this is like the new order where the world is gradually moving. Obviously, technology is now, you know, creme de la creme of everything. Made life easy. Do a phone call, the Zooms and all of that stuff. But artificial intelligence, basically, the conversation is a bit dicey. Others are for it, others are against it. Before we get to that, what is your definition, or professionally in your field, what would you define as artificial intelligence, aside the word artificial intelligence, AI? What is it?
So if I have to go professionally, I would end up with people asking more questions, because then we're going to go down the rabbit hole.
That's why I want you to summarize it. Break it down to the streets.
The barest minimum. Let's take both words.
Right.
And just consider
artificial, which is something that's not made by, if you believe in a supreme deity, made by God.
Right.
Exists naturally.
Okay.
And intelligence, which is the ability or the ability to learn and acquire the skills to do something.
Mm.
So that's intelligence. So just take that and add it. So something, you know, the ability to learn and acquire a skill to do something that wasn't made naturally.
Mm.
It was just made by human beings. Mm. So when you take artificial intelligence in cars, the ability for cars to drive themselves, you know, which was not done by nature, because nature did not create the cars.
So you take
maybe an artificial intelligence chef,
the
ability to learn to cook and create meals, that was not created naturally. It was made by a human being. So in that barest sense, that's what artificial intelligence is.
Great. So this new, what do you call it, form of technology, is it new or it has been in existence for a while now that we didn't really know about?
It has been in existence for a very long time. We're talking as early as the 1950s.
Wow.
Yes.
1950s.
Yes.
Okay. Not even my pops was around then.
So it's very old.
Okay.
But then it's evolving. I mean, it's the same thing when we talk about computers.
Right.
People may think computers became a thing when we started using it, but computers existed. It's just what we know as computers now are not what were known as computers
back then. In the days.
So even for us who think we are now knowing what artificial intelligence is, have been using AI for quite a while. You use Siri or Google Assistant, that's AI right there. If you've ever used a, you know, a spell checker on your computer, that's artificial intelligence.
Right.
It's just that it's not as complicated as it was then, like it is now.
Right.
So before then, if you take something like Siri or Alexa, we call them weak AI.
Okay.
Because they have, they're just focused.
They're limited
on,
in terms of what they can
tasks.
Do. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
But then if you look at ChatGPT, that's a strong AI, which cuts across more industries.
I mean, some folks, school of thoughts, you know, the academics basically, some of them have expressed fear or uncertainty or concern basically about this particular, you know, thing, artificial intelligence. Because one thing that's very key, every now and then we see the likes of Zuckerberg, the CEO of TikTok, and other, you know, what do you call it, CEOs, Elon Musk and everything. And one of the major concern is about data sharing. Even here in Ghana, it was a matter of concern. You don't need to sell your data. You're just there and a message comes on your phone like, I'm a business person. I sell this, I sell that. How did you get my phone number? So there's that concern, even though it's not really a matter of concern here in GH. Those of you who really know it know that this is not really cool to do. But out there in the Western world, developed world, it's a big thing to share your personal data, because of course it's not a friendly space. There's the dark web, what they can do and all of that. Why do you think people, academics, professionals, even techies, have expressed concern with respect to artificial intelligence?
So primarily it has to do with the effect it would have on the human in itself, like all of us,
the human race,
because There's a lot of things that will change. You mentioned data and the availability of it. I mean, artificial intelligence is powered by data. It lives off of data. You need data to
That's basically the soul.
Exactly. Now, all that data being fed into it means that these artificial intelligence systems are going to know things that we wouldn't know. They're going to be able to do things that we can't do faster than we can do them.
Right.
They're able to crunch numbers, process data, process information, analyze stuff, make predictions, all that stuff in record time that no human on this earth
can do.
Now, when you take something like that and make it into a tool that people can use, that's fair. But then again, when it gets to a point where that tool becomes so powerful that either the users or the creators cannot understand it again, it becomes scary. And that's where the fear is, really. Because if you've probably been in this space, you've heard a lot of the discussions that's been going around. The creators of ChatGPT have expressed concerns about certain times when artificial intelligence did stuff that they didn't understand how it came to that, you know, conclusion or how it got to that solution. And so they've created a term for it called a black box. Because there's some things that AI does that
they don't even understand.
They don't understand. Because the technology is, it's, I hate to use the term advanced because it's still growing.
Right.
But then again, you've given the technology the power to learn on its own, which intelligence, right? Let me just put it into perspective. Let's say you had a child who is 1 year old. And before the child turned two, could sit for the medical exam, the law school exam, every exam that you can imagine, goes to a university and takes all their courses, every single course, and passes all of them.
Right.
A two-year-old child.
Mm.
Right?
And a two-year-old?
A two-year-old child.
Yeah, would have to separate homes.
And when you ask the child how they do it and they explain it to you, you don't even understand it.
Mm.
You know, and you try to get them to explain it to you in a way that you can understand. Mm. And it's still as complex as possible. Even in the most simplest form, it's too complex for you to understand.
Yeah.
It would scare you.
It would, actually.
Exactly. So until the time when you can understand how it does what it does, and I'm sorry that I'm using it to describe the child because we haven't given it the gender yet. Until the time that you can, you know, understand what it does, you would be wary.
Absolutely.
You would sleep with one eye open.
Open, because, yeah. You never know, man.
This is Chucky in your house.
Yo! And we've seen movies like that, right?
You know?
In 2019, there's a movie of 2025 and the jets flying all over the place. And wow, yeah.
So that's one type of fear. And then there's also the fear about what, which I mentioned about what it's going to do to the human race, which is people becoming overly reliant on it and over dependent.
Right.
And take, for instance, that if you had a robot that could do everything for you, brush your teeth, take your bath, drive you to school or work, and you don't even ever have to leave your chair. You know, it would have an effect on you.
Absolutely.
You're going to gain weight. You're going to become obese.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have health.
Yeah.
Issues. So when we take that into the perspective of the mental ability of human beings who decide to rely too much
on
AI to do everything for them. So students in school are doing all their assignments with AI. They're not really learning.
Yeah.
That's a fear, that over-reliance.
Mm.
So really, but that is not much of a fear as the aforementioned fear, the before one, because we can adjust.
Mm.
I believe before human beings started driving, we're riding horses and walking.
Yeah.
And so we were, I'd like to believe we were more fit than we are today.
Right.
I don't think people would voluntarily go work out in the 18th century, for instance. There was no reason to, right? Now we work out because we know that we're not as active as before. So our lifestyle has changed.
Has changed, yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Behavioral changes change because like the things change, you know, like the advent of AI is going to cause a lot of changes in education and medicine, even in work. So now if I'm asking somebody to do a report for me and I know that there exists a tool that a person can use, I'm not expecting them to take 2 days to write that report when they can do it in 30 minutes.
Right.
So that, you know, that dynamic changes. And so the way we do things is going to have to change.
Right.
So, which is why I say it's no longer a fear. So in school, for instance, if I know that my students can use ChatGPT to do the work, I need to change how they're going to do the work. So in a certain way, they're still going to assimilate whatever it is that they're learning.
Right.
The same thing when computers became a thing. Before, I'm sure everyone here is old enough to know what life was before the computers. We'd had to go to the libraries. We'd have to go and read the newspaper. Sometimes the teacher would give you an assignment.
Yeah.
We didn't have Google.
Sure.
So you needed a Britannica encyclopedia.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Now you have the internet. All that information is a snap of a finger away.
Right.
So did that change? Did that make the children coming now who have access to Google any dumber?
Nah.
Exactly. Because the educational system had to adapt.
Change, yeah.
To make, you know, to accommodate that availability of information and that ease of access to information. So I believe that that fear that, oh, the kids are going to get dumber, it's valid, but then things are going to change. Like there's going to be an evolution in that area to, you know, basically reduce the fear. But for the parts where we don't understand how it works, that fear is valid.
All right, Kwabena Nkrumah. For a second, I was about to add another Kwabena, transforming you into a musician in that regard. PB is seated here as well. I mean, ChatGPT, are you a friend? Have you tried it before?
Not tried it yet. But
you're looking forward to
it? I think we've used it for something at AGR before, which I was part of. So I didn't use it directly, but virtually,
right,
through someone, so vicariously. So I had that little experience. I've seen people talk to it, if you will, or engage it on various things, religion, social issues,
right? Politics and all.
Politics, personal, you know, stuff. And some of the responses has, it's been quite interesting, right? I've seen a publication about AI lies.
AI lies.
Lies.
Not telling you the truth.
Don't rely on it all the time. I've seen publications like that.
Okay.
And stuff like that. So, but I'm quite a careful optimist, you know, which I think it's quite practical. I'm not exactly... let's not touch it. It's already here. As Spikey was saying, if it's from the 1950s and you are now about to scream that we should stop it, no, it's evolved. It's beyond your control at the moment, right, in the sense of its utility or its existence. It's beyond your control. What is within our control, I believe, is more like how we would use it. Would it become a tool? Or it's going to become weapon. Our Lord.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah,
I think that's where the conversation should be. For those who are afraid, the thing is already here. But we've overcome a lot of things. As humans, we are very resilient.
Right.
And we are good with survivors. Adapting to things. We've gone through various technological, you know, evolutions.
Phases.
And we've done okay. It's only right for us to be afraid now that this is quite big, not to downplay AI. This is quite big, and it's scary because it's like a rival to the human intelligence.
True,
that's the bit that I think is scary for a lot of people, because for the first time, this is something that mimics us and has the potential to even override our intelligence.
True.
So I think that's where the fear is, which is valid, right? However, could we, just like the conversation we had with the FDA executive, right? He said something. GMOs are not evil by definition. It's what it's used for. And Spikey said something that he also said, speeding up natural processes.
Making it more easier.
Right, making it easier. So for me, these are my comforts, but at the same time, these are my concerns.
Right.
However, I'd like to find out from Spikey, what are the implications for, because I've heard about deep fake, right? It was once used in an African country, which one I've forgotten, but when it was used, the people, their suspicions were tickled and they noticed that this was fake because the president was not blinking. He was sick apparently at the time. So they used the deep fake. Deep fake is more like, they will use your face
and make it look as if it's moving, it's emotion.
As though it's you. I think some celebrities like Kim Kardashian and the rest have
even
had
the Pope, they had something like that. They got the Pope and some, you know.
They noticed that the president was not blinking. That's when they realized, okay, this is not him, right? But if it's been used before in this regard, it could have political implications.
Absolutely.
Right? With music, The Weeknd and Drake.
Oh, they've expressed no.
Yeah, they've,
you don't,
they've
had use songs, AI.
There's a collaboration between the two of them that went viral, right? And now I'm seeing record labels are discussing whether they would have like another product line. So there is Drake and then there is AI Drake. So that they could also regulate that. So the implication, I want to know the implications for politics, for music, right? And if you could explore with us the implications, positive and negative, right? Because I can clearly see that on the music side, as much as it can be a threat to the real musicians, it could also be an opportunity to for make them and for others.
Okay. Right?
So I don't know what's
Spikey.
I love where he came from because it also borders on one of the fears people have, which is AI coming for our jobs. Because they're
Oh boy.
So which is why it connects all three industries. And let me start off with the creative industry and what happens with AI being able to mimic people's voices. I've used that tool. It works.
You try me.
Yeah, we'll try.
Be wild. When they hear Michael Jackson, they sing songs.
You sure? So no Michael Jackson. We'll try.
So okay. Even you, all I have to do is just record a sample of your voice and train artificial intelligence. So it learns, you know, like how you speak, your nuances and everything. Give it speech and it would repeat it in your voice.
Oh boy.
It's almost you know, indiscernible from the real one. It is almost there. Mm. And if you've listened to the Heart on My Sleeve, which is the Drake and Weeknd song,
yeah,
it's very difficult to tell.
You know, I never knew until it was mentioned. I had no idea.
There you go. And I've seen it done. Like, I've seen someone deliver a speech which was written by AI, and the AI also mimicked his voice. You know, and this was right here in Ghana. So there's
you're kidding.
No. Right here. The person was supposed to give a speech at a summit. He wasn't available, so they had the AI do it for him.
Is he a real grandpa?
So it's not far. So you see, yes. For deepfakes, as he mentioned, it's a fear. It's a huge fear. I watched a movie, quote, a short movie, written, created by an AI. You had Donald Trump's voice in there. You had Putin's voice in there. You had Joe Biden's voice in there. All of them speaking, you know, and sounding like it was them, but it was actually an AI. Listen, the one I even had me on the ground rolling was Trump's voice, and it, like, listen, it
exactly
the personality,
China,
you know, like,
it's just, you're not gonna do all the same, you don't have
it. It was so good, and the visuals and everything, it did everything on its own. As with everything, you have the good side and the bad side. I'm sure the person who invented a knife did not intend it for it to be a murder weapon, right?
Yeah.
But somebody just woke up one day and thought, I can stab someone and kill them with this thing that I used to cut my orange, you know? So every tool that's created, somebody's going to find a negative use for it. The onus lies on us who have the knowledge to educate people on what can be done.
Right.
And then how to identify these things, because you can't stop it. That's a fact. The sooner we realize that, listen, would you ever say that because cars can knock down and kill people, so we shouldn't
drive cars?
No. Mm. But then we educate people about safety on the
traffic
road.
Regulations.
You know,
basically.
Traffic regulations. We educate people about overspeeding, drinking and driving,
right?
Because we know these are the risks.
Mm.
Once we identify these risks, we can always come up with ways to prevent them.
Mm.
So deepfakes, very, very doable. Take someone. See, it goes as it's even simple. You can even install, if you have a very powerful computer. NVIDIA has a plugin called NVIDIA Broadcast. So if you're going to have a Zoom meeting with someone and you're distracted, AI positions your face as if you're looking at the camera meanwhile you're looking elsewhere.
Oh boy.
And this is consumer level.
Employers, watch out to employers.
And this is consumer level.
If they're buried, they chill.
The worst part, it's consumer level stuff.
So you just download and install it. So anyone, once you have a computer that's capable of it, you have face swap.
Yeah.
Where I can take a video of you.
Right.
And take a video of me. And then while I talk, every single motion of my face is mimicked with your face.
Wow.
So then it looks like, you've seen that one where they use, what's his name, Morgan Freeman as a demonstration.
Yeah.
So the person was talking.
It's not me.
And they also mimicked his voice as well. So I can have Morgan Freeman come out and say something that's demeaning to him or that's, you know, offensive to some people. And for that period that people don't know that it was, you know, faked, would believe it.
Absolutely.
So a president could be made to step down, issue,
and would have an AI running the nation.
Right?
You know, so all these things can be done. So if we sit down and say, hey, we don't want it, we're going to wait, it'll be too late. By the time we realize someone's probably just, you know, incited a war in Ghana because we didn't know that deepfakes existed and somebody just started, it's like hate speech against one tribe, pitch them against the other, start a war.
And that could be the work of an AI.
Someone could use that tool.
So my question would now be, now, like Barry said, it's come to stay. PB said, it's come to stay. It's going to dictate how society lives because it can, like you said, cause war, political implications and all of that. How do we, or what measures do we need to put in place to be able to educate the masses? Because our educational system is already not there yet. And now we have to start including AI and not just the new generation, but the old generation as well, who have not even come into contact with the already archaic, quote unquote, archaic AI that existed.
I
wanted to even ask because I wanted to know, how do you differentiate the
real from the fake?
Yeah.
Have they gotten out of hand, or there are ways to identify?
Okay, starting with hers, the educational part. It's very, very important, because one of the things I noticed when I was growing, we had, you know, public educational messages, how to cross the streets. If you get to the street, turn left, turn right, turn left. Yeah. Again. Do you see those civic things again?
Education. Yeah.
Civic education, it's stopped. We don't see stuff like that again. Yeah. We need to bring stuff like that back. Mm. And then plug in all the things that people need to know.
Okay.
You know, then you can, because we're looking at the masses who do not have access to information that you and I may have access to. We have to find a way to get that, you know, news to them. Let them know what is happening. Because I think we've stated beyond, like, it's been exhausted, that the world has become a global village.
Mm.
So we can't expect that the people in our villages are not going to have to compete with people in, you know, the other parts of the world.
Mm.
So the sooner we get them at par with everyone, the better. And honestly, I would think that AI would even be a better tool to achieve this. I'll tell you why. If we decided, or if we were able to invest proper capital into the educational system,
right,
to use an educational system developed by an artificial intelligence, which, mind you, is measuring the capabilities of each area or each school or each class of people, it would be able to tell, because it's doing this artificially, it's processing data faster than we can.
Right.
It can tell if we're in this room and we all had to study and AI was monitoring us, it would tell who needs to put in more effort and who needs to just, who's okay, you know, by doing a certain level of analysis, right? Now, if we run this nationwide, we'll be able to tell what the weaknesses are in a certain region or a certain constituency or a certain area.
Yeah.
Because we're analyzing the data of the students in real time.
Mm.
You're checking their grades day by day, minute by minute. China's piloted something like that, where they're you know, analyzing their kids' attention even. So their cameras monitoring the kids. The bands that they're wearing on the head, that's measuring their brain waves to tell if they're paying attention or not. Seeing how that is impacting. So, you know, okay, it's no longer the student, it's actually the teacher, because it's a percentage of students that did well versus the percentages of students that didn't do well in this class, comparing, you know, this, okay, so these students lost interest at this point when this teacher came in, probably the teacher.
Mm.
So rather than blaming your students on not doing well,
send them packing.
Maybe it's the syllabus. You know, all this stuff, we put all that data in there, as we mentioned prior, that data is
key.
We put all that data in there. We're able to make all these decisions to solve all these problems. Now, back to yours, you use AI to fight AI, trust me.
Mm.
How can you tell if something is fake? We just find a system that we can feed that video back into. It just looks at it and tells you it's fake or it's real.
That's a cool
thing. Right? It's that simple.
Use AI to fight AI.
Yeah.
Of course. You don't use AI to get... Well, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Wow. We're speaking to Kwabena Nkrumah. He is a tech consultant and well-vested in the space. Trust me, artificial intelligence. He's for it from the look of things. But of course, with all care, with all, you know, with cautiousness, because you wouldn't want. But so, does it mean that artificial intelligence is more intelligent than the human brain?
It's modeled with the human brain as a basis. The truth of the matter is that it's more powerful at this point because it is doing one task. It's been programmed. It's the same thing as you can't run faster than a car.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't eat faster than a shredder or, something.
Yeah.
You can't do anything faster than a machine.
Mm.
It's a matter of speed.
Of course.
And these processors have been programmed to do one thing and
at
one
the
thing
same time. Okay.
You're thinking about what you're going to eat for dinner.
All right. You're thinking about the feed and fee, right?
Mm. You know?
Mm.
You're thinking about, before you even push any of these buttons, there's so many
things running through. Yeah. Yeah.
But do they have to go through that stress? No. Do they get tired? No. Do they think about existence? No. I don't think a computer is sitting there thinking about, so why did my girlfriend break up with me in high school? Like randomly. That thought is not going to pop up in an AI's mind. That while you're doing a math exam, you found yourself in class writing an exam and some thoughts that has nothing to do with
the exam just pops up.
Just pops up and you, for like a split second, you're lost.
Guy, now Shayo this evening.
Yeah.
Boy, the right
finally snap
you
out
think of Shayo.
It will never happen to a computer.
Wow.
So by by that, the computer has beaten you. It's way ahead of you,
yeah,
because it's focused
on a particular task. Lose
attention.
Exactly. No.
So it's beating you.
So which is why Elon Musk, wants us to interface with artificial intelligence.
Okay.
So it sort of supplements what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So imagine if you had direct access to a database of information and you didn't have to think, right? Just like, if you asked me what the population of Madagascar is in a split second, I can give you the answer because I'm interfacing directly with Google or with, you know, ChatGPT or something.
Right. So it's like you become one. It's like a unity between human and machine.
Cyborg.
Wouldn't we cyborg. So we become taking away the what makes us humans?
What makes us human?
That's a question.
I'm asking this because humans and animals are the same,
mm-hmm,
but our ability to think and make decisions based on our thought process
is what differentiates us.
So now, if we are given that ability to machines, then we can as well connect that to animals, and they could do what we can do, just not speak.
Well, they're actually testing it on animals as we speak before they bring it to us.
Well, so
I like. What
she said,
Debbie's saying, but in it, I think, is the answer as well. You know, if they give AI to a dolphin, and they give AI to, let's say,
a shark,
like a lesser
intelligent,
maybe a pig.
Unfortunately,
we should understand that the pig will become smart. But the dolphin is already smarter than the pig.
So like 2.0.
So no matter what you do, the dolphin
would
still
be ahead
in a certain way, all things being equal, the dolphin is still going to be brighter than the pig, even though the pig has advanced because of the assistance of AI. So I still would like to think, being a careful optimist, I would still like to think that, it's strange that we want to blend a human and a machine, right?
Human intelligence.
And the possibility of evil is high, but also the possibility of good is also high. If you think about, maybe because of how I think, but when I'm in a car, especially when I'm in a public car, and I'm watching the private cars zoom about, you are literally in a machine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do you get me? That's how when I'm on the street, that's how I think. It's like a robot. It's like the robots we see in sci-fi movies, huge, like the Transformer size robots with a human being operating.
Just a little,
Or Dexter, if you're young, listening to
Dexter's Laboratory.
Do you get me?
Yeah.
So we've already been shown how it would look like if we united with a machine.
Yeah.
Right? And possibilities that could open up for us.
Right.
However, in all this, I think, as Spikey is saying, it is again more about self-education, governmental policies or education on that national level.
And regulations,
so that we would become empowered. It's like the gun situation in America.
Yeah,
if you take the guns from the good people, the bad people will still have access to
the gun. Yeah. So why don't you leave it to them so they could defend themselves?
I mean, I know it's a touchy conversation, but I think it's proverbial looking at AI. If we don't train good people, so-called good people,
to learn,
use AI, the bad people, they've already had the word. The word is out. They will learn how to use it.
The dark web is there. You don't even know who is who. It's happening already.
Please,
calm down. Let's talk about the losing of jobs, where people would have to lose their job because it's very imminent. Now the population of Africa is skyrocketing. I hear by 2026 or somewhere, it's just going to be like, or 20, 30 or 40, the world is going to be filled with Africans, the youth especially. And we need jobs. Now AI is coming into the picture to reduce the rate at which humans would have to be present at a certain job. What's the solution? Are we looking at balancing the equation or hope no day?
It's a very simple solution.
I like your sigh. You took a deep breath before you let me exhale that one.
Because I understand when people have that fear, but people who have that fear are people who are not thinking. Let me not use that term because it might come across as condescending to some people.
Okay.
10 years ago, it would take 5 people to handle this, right?
Okay.
You would have somebody handling the mixer, mm-hmm. you'd have someone who's controlling the microphone, mm-hmm. someone handling the broadcast.
Someone holding the lighter, basically.
Today, what's happening here, that you still even have about three people, can be reduced to no one.
Right. With,
you know, the availability of a machine, automation. So that camera could be automated mm-hmm. to focus on whoever speaks. The mm-hmm. faders could be automated to focus on whoever speaks.
Mm-hmm.
And the mixer mm-hmm. or the streamer could also be automated.
That means that they've lost their jobs as well.
Exactly. But you see, what would happen is that he
uh-huh.
would be the one who would understand how to make that automation for the camera.
Mm.
You would understand how the mixer works and you would be able to write the scripts that works for the mixer. He would be the one to learn how to program the computers to do the live streaming on their own.
Okay. Right?
It took someone mm-hmm. who knew how to build a car to make the car autonomous.
Mm. Right.
Upskilling, reskilling. Sitting down with the same skills that you learned from 10 years ago and expecting that the world is going to be the same for the next 10 years is...
You know, go happen. Yeah, you know, go happen.
Right? When I was young, if you called any business, mm. big business, and you wanted to speak to someone in there, it would go to the telephone exchange first.
Right.
Once it got there, mm-hmm. somebody's job was to answer the call, ask you who you wanted to speak to, pick a cable out of here, connect it to that office's cable,
mm-hmm.
the phone will ring there,
mm-hmm. yeah.
they would answer, they would talk to the telephone exchange mm-hmm. person, tell them, this person is on the line to speak to you, hold on, and then they would connect to you. Right?
Mm.
That was the bridge. Then that technology evolved. So when we got the exchange, the extensions,
mm.
right? So you call, then you definitely still meet the person who was at the telephone exchange and mm. they would ask for the extension that you wanted to.
Yeah.
And they would dial the extension and connect you to that
person.
Person,
yeah.
Then you talk. Then we got a PABX system, which will do that automatically. So you'd call, hi, welcome to Africa Global Radio. Who would you like to speak to? Would you like to enter an extension? You enter the extension and it connects you.
Right.
That person lost their job.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Politely.
But somebody
you said
got
it.
A job to create that PABX. So now there's a factory that is producing PABX systems for all the companies worldwide. One person, two people, three people, 10 people in telephone exchanges lost their jobs. But a new factory sprang up where they were building PABX systems.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
All those jobs evolved. No longer, you're not going to school to go and study to become a telephone exchange person. You're mm-hmm. going to school to learn now how to build a PABX system. Let me even use a much more relatable example. Today we have social media as a career,
mm-hmm.
as a job.
Yeah.
Right? This was marketing. This was public relations. Now it's been merged together digital. So you have somebody who's calling themselves digital marketer, mm-hmm. social media expert.
Mm-hmm.
My mother didn't know that would exist when she was in school.
Mm-mm.
And she was probably learning journalism.
Yeah.
Right?
Public relations officer.
And all that. Mm. Goes to sit in an office and it's her job to write the copy for print. Now traditional media is evolving. It's going digital. Now people need to understand analytics. All that is changing. So you're finding that those courses are being introduced in schools and some courses are being dropped. Yes, yeah. We don't talk about the courses that are being dropped because it's irrelevant. As much as why it's being dropped. But we're talking about the new courses. Now people are hitting me up, Spikey, what tech course should I take in school?
Mm.
I have a background in this. What can I add to it? That's upskilling. That's reskilling.
Mm.
But the person who sits down in their office and says that, hey, I'm a lawyer. And so I don't need to learn any tech.
Talking about lawyer, the intelligence of a lawyer, would an AI be able to give verdicts already, the way?
There is an AI system.
But yeah. Government has already introduced some form of AI into our judiciary.
Which one? The Ghana government?
Yes.
Them try them.
Oh,
you work.
No, they're building new court houses around the country.
Yeah, I know.
Yes,
that.
And they are introducing these AI forms. I've forgotten the name for it, but there's a certain... they are introducing computers and AI forms
to
read through cases
yeah.
and aid the judiciary in discharging their responsibilities.
So, what happens to?
We have an AI, a lawyer.
So what happens to the jury?
So you see, it doesn't change
anything.
What's happening? Like certain things will remain the same.
Okay,
but it doesn't say that it's not going to be affected or it's not going to be impacted by. You know, the emergence of AI. Like you mentioned, there's an AI lawyer that you give your case to, state all the things, and it will tell you whether you can win or lose. Right? It gives you a percentage of, you know, your probability of you losing or winning. Yeah, I wouldn't trust it 100%. Yeah. But,
right.
You know, it gives you enough, you know, information, enough
as honest as possible.
Yeah. For you to know, okay, maybe I'm being stupid. I shouldn't even pursue the case.
Uh-huh. Maybe even takes away the whole bribery and people not even being honest about stuff, right?
That's the part that we can't really, that's where AI cannot really touch, because we can't change human behavior. There are certain elements of human interaction in our day-to-day activities that would always make for that uniqueness, like she said, being human.
Yeah.
That's what an AI cannot replicate, which is why AIs only copy. Mm-hmm. They don't create.
Okay. You
know, they learn from what we've given to them, what we fed them. If we didn't feed AI with data,
they don't have the power to.
They have nothing.
Do they have the potential of going rogue? Say, self-activating missiles. Oh, Russia is my enemy. I'm going to blow up Russia.
There is that possibility.
That ain't good, man.
So ChatGPT, well, let me give you a typical example of what happened when they tested ChatGPT. They asked it to do something on its own. And you know this form where you're asked to click the box to prove that you're not a robot?
Yes.
It actually works. Computers cannot do that. Surprisingly, they cannot do that.
Okay. So
that was a dumb question.
No. Yo, me too, right? I'm like, I'm not a robot. Yeah. Let it get over
a
with.
Robot cannot actually complete that task, which is why they use that always to prove that you're not a robot.
Can the creator make the robot
do that?
So you see, there are certain things that you and I as human beings are able to process beyond what we know.
Right.
If I asked, you know, all of us here to identify, you know, everyone based on certain qualities.
We may be able to do that.
Are you talking more consciousness?
I don't like to use the word consciousness because we as humans can't even define consciousness 100%.
Yeah.
But it's just, there's just something that's very unique
about humans. Oh, definitely.
Robots, no matter what, or computers,
they can't do.
So this robot or this computer, knowing that it can't do that, knew that it had to get a human being to do it. And so went on a site like Fiverr and hired somebody to do the task for it and told them that, hey, I need you to click on this for me.
Wow.
And I'll pay you. And the guy in jest said, hey, are you a robot? Says, no, I have an impairment that prevents me from doing this. So the robot...
So the robot was smart enough. He lied.
The publication that I read.
He lied to convince a person to do that.
But the question is, this is a human feature. It is something that humans, because I believe, or what I know to the best of my knowledge, is AI cannot lie. That is what I know to the
our cars cry lie to us. Sometimes it's no fault, but
somebody check engine lights will come on, go to sleep, come back, it's gone.
Averagely, I'm just trying to
get your point.
You punch 1 + 1,
it gives you the 2, and it's like garbage in, garbage out.
When it's 3, then it's malfunctioning.
That's because it's defined. 1 + 1 is defined. When you widen the scope, right?
Intelligence.
And it's supposed to, you see, it's been programmed to do something. And you know how computers are. If you've ever written any program, any programmer who's listening out there will back me up on this. A computer must achieve its goal.
Right.
It doesn't know stop. It doesn't know good. It doesn't know bad. It doesn't know right. It doesn't know wrong. All it knows is, I have to achieve my goal. I have to, I've given this, I must do it.
Right.
Right. So, which is why if there's an if loop or a while loop where it cannot stop, where you haven't told it to stop, it will do it till it crashes, which is how come computers crash.
Okay.
So when you have an error where you've got, you know,
going they don't know when to stop,
it crashes, it's because a human being will get like, Charlie, my brain. You know,
computer, there you go.
The computer is like, I have to do it. This has to work.
It's a command.
It's a command. I must obey. Give you a typical example, something that the American government is saying didn't happen, but there was news that an AI-powered drone, you know, the drones that they sent to assassinated its controller, allegedly.
Oh boy!
Because the controller was impeding its from achieving its goal. I'm supposed to go do this, and you keep stopping me. Let's say go and bomb this area, and you notice that there's women and children there who are not involved in this thing. So you say abort, right? Uh-huh. Human being would be like, okay. would even question
why the motive.
I
yeah,
can't do
yeah.
this. You know, I shouldn't do this. But then the robot has to do it. It's been given a task. I need to achieve it. And wow. when it kept being
aborted.
Okay, but it was a simulation. It wasn't reality. It was a simulation. It just went back and then blew the tower and went back to actually complete its goal. Do you get what I'm saying? Like this. Wow. So if you put it in a code that if this hampers you, which is something that programmers do, when you get here, if this, do that. Mm. Do this or else do that. All right?
Oh boy.
So then it has to achieve that.
So if I'm getting what you say, actually, in a certain way, AI would advance us. Mm. If we handle it well,
yes,
yeah.
it would advance. We to use religious language, AI. If we are able to understand AI and how to use it, uh-huh. it might turn us rather into gods. To use religious language, from what he's saying, we would need a certain kind of intelligence studying AI to navigate it.
Mm. Okay, yeah, yeah, obviously.
But we have to understand that in learning AI to navigate it or to saddle it like a horse. You are also improving your intelligence.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So in a certain way, if we handle it carefully and we study enough, as he's encouraged,
it transforms us into a certain being, a superior being. Yeah.
A better
being, version of yourself.
Than we were before. So I think we could look at it in some positive ways, but of course the negatives are also...
Yeah. Well, like, as I stated, with everything
there are pros and cons, yeah,
and the positives. I think there's a huge potential that AI can, you know, bring to us as humans and help us develop and improve,
right?
And there's also a huge risk as well.
Yeah.
Knowing both is helpful. Knowing how to navigate both the positives and the negatives and how to prevent the bad and then encourage the good is necessary.
Right.
So if we're able to achieve both, then just like with the computers, we'll be getting to, like you said, God status. We'll be doing more than we can, more than we've been ever able to do. I mean, look at the medical field. AI is helping. Mm. Now, very soon, cancer could be cured. Think about it. Processing that we can't do on our own. If we now apply AI to
computing,
we could be solving, you know, world hunger, for instance. Because then some people are using AI now to even analyze crops and, you know, how they're growing and even the land that you're growing stuff on, which this area, no, don't grow here. Grow here. It will take this amount of rainfall that's going to come. See, all that data that human beings can't process on their own, AIs are doing that for us. So there's a lot of capabilities that we just need to explore.
But finally, would you say that the human who builds the AI clearly is more intelligent than the AI? No, would you say that?
No, I wouldn't say that. The reason why I'm saying that I wouldn't say that is it's like saying that because I built an exoskeleton that can run, I can run faster than it. It will still run faster than I can.
No, of course. That's the task. Don't forget, that is the task that you've actually built. That's the purpose. Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
And you built it to be intelligent more than you. That's the whole goal. Yeah. You built it to be more intelligent than you.
The
you
didn't build was it. Built, the calculator was built to calculate better than you.
And you... So the whole idea...
But I still built it. I made it that way.
Yeah, so you built it to be better than you. If you're building something to be as smart as you, why would I buy it? What if I'm smarter than you? Yeah. Or what if you're smarter than me?
I don't...
Jackie, I think you said something that could answer the question. The machine, based on... so a calculator only calculates.
Uh-huh.
In that sense, it's smarter than you in calculation.
In calculating, yes.
But your intelligence
holistically,
goes beyond
holistically,
calculation.
Yes. I'm looking
However,
at human.
The thing with AI is, I think it's more like, can it touch every single area that a human being functions in?
An omniscient scary, AI, somewhat.
Or an omnipotent.
Yeah, yeah.
In the human context, like an omnipotent intelligence,
right?
Because a car only drives. It's intelligent in that sense only.
Yeah.
But I am beyond just transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get me? I can love, I can create.
So you mean
something
like full 360? So can we create an artificially intelligent entity that can do everything humans
everything,
can do better? So that would be a bad idea.
Thank you.
To put all that in one. Because, I mean, a thing can lie.
Yeah.
Imagine giving it all the features of humans, which
is possible.
Which is possible. I mean, if we have an AI that if you go to a factory right now, we've reduced the number of human beings in a factory.
And machines robots are working now.
Now power those robots by AI. The only difference between automation and artificial intelligence is the ability to adapt. AI adapts. That's why you tell an AI this, it gives you a wrong answer, you can tell it is wrong and tell it what's right. And it goes to read more. Automation does not do that. Automation is, let me move this from here to there. If I get here and there's an error, stop.
That's a rigid machine.
It is, actually.
You know, single-minded.
Right.
But that adaptability in AI, imagine that it can cook and it's learning new recipes. There's no way you can learn every recipe in the whole world as a human being. But if you have an AI that learns every recipe, you can do it. All it needs is storage to store that memory, that information. Now, you've taught that same AI how to clean your home. We have Roombas that learn to clean your room.
Yeah.
You've given it our skills. If you watch Jetsons, you remember that robot? We're adding all those skills gradually. Now, you've added that. You've added cleaning. You've added, you know, motion.
Before you know, you're marrying AI.
Oh, there's AI wife.
People are thinking already. People
there
are thinking
is
on
AI
that.
Wife. You have a password.
There are dummies that people are doing things with.
Oh, boy.
You have a password, so only you can.
Kwabena.
Are there any websites, articles that we should, you know, read? Resources
there's
online.
There's so many. I mean, ideally, you could just subscribe to like a newsletter, an artificial intelligence newsletter, or any tech blog that talks about these things. I follow a couple of people on Twitter because of this.
Okay.
They're always putting out some new information and all that. You can't find all that knowledge in one place. So yeah, read wide, spread your mind, allow yourself to just assimilate anything you find.
Right.
And don't just let me just say, oh yeah, it's bad, so I'm going to learn it.
It's good. Kwabena Nkrumah, who is
just
not
call me Kobe.
Let's go professional a bit. It's AI world, so you'd wanna, you know. So Kwabena Nkrumah, who's definitely not related to the first president of Ghana, aka Spikey, so I should call him Kobe now. I wonder what name the AI would call you or would refer to you as.
It says
Angel. It's Kwabena Nkrumah. I said, no, I know you are Spikey. Have you changed your name, please? But it's good to have you, man. Very fruitful conversation. Because this conversation has no ending until we stop its AI feature, right? But thank you for coming. And we're looking forward to having maybe a podcast conversation about this again in the future. And What else? Teaching us, the part where you said what would be the best, IT course to study, we're big media practitioners. I mean, what would be that next thing to study would be a question that maybe I want to ask you sometime in the future. But AI is definitely, it's here to stay, as you said, and we should use it wisely, I think. And learn about it and all of that. Thank you very much. Thanks to my colleagues, PB, Sandra and Debbie, and to you out there, our dear listener. And there is more coming up. If you didn't catch the conversation, it's going to be out as well on YouTube and on our podcast spaces on our website, Africa Global Radio. So you can listen to Kobe, Spikey, Kwabena Nkrumah, tech consultant, talk about AI. And he put it so simply well. I mean, and he made it so easy. At least you don't have to fear. Okay, till you hear from us again next Thursday here on Africa Global Radio, bringing you another interesting, adventurous, interactive, entertaining show. This is where we call it a day. And I want to believe Chris Brown saw this one happening. That's why he created I Can Transform You. Yeah. Possibly. I Can Transform You. And it features Lil Wayne and it was produced by the legendary Swizz Beatz. Salam alaikum. Go hey little mama, I could transform ya. No, I can't dance, but I could dance on ya. Swiss on the beat, Chris move your feet. And baby, I could transform you him to a me. I could change your life, make it so new. This is an Africa Global Radio production.